Welcome to part two of episode two. Jay and I talk about 79 kilos to 125.
All right, 79.
Very interesting weight class.
Yeah, it's an interesting weight class when Mark Hall is your fourth best guy.
You know you're doing something right. I still think Hall could beat Valencia at some point in freestyle. I don't know, folk style. I think Valencia has his number, but I think freestyle, he could figure things out. Because Hall is just so dynamic when you get it on the legs.
But I think that's exactly, I think you're putting it in the right terms here. I think that both those guys actually have their strengths and their weaknesses, and they're getting exposed. So I think Valencia is exposing Hall's weaknesses, and Derringer is exposing Valencia's weaknesses. Yeah. So,
oh, big time.
Hall, like you said, great counter wrestler. Mm-hmm. But when you get wrestle a guy who shoots and finishes,
you don't get
the opportunity. And then when you get behind and that guy doesn't have to do much, you're in trouble. So yeah. I think Hall's got to get back to some...
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know what's happened. I mean, it's especially coming into college and, you know, his first year of college, he was scoring way more than he was. I mean, back when I watched him in high school, no one could touch him. I mean, he was outscoring people like crazy. And then when he transitioned to college, it kind of died down a little bit. But he was still, you know, pretty dynamic, hitting these weird, you know, elbow to diving to a low level shot, which he kind of hit a little bit in
trials. It felt like this year he's either sticking a guy that has no business on being on the mat with him, or he's winning 2-1, 4-3.
Yeah, I think he's content with that. Which I don't know. I mean, he's winning.
He's lost by one. He's beat Miles Amin four times now by a point.
I think the reason why we're so confused by it, because you're on a team where offense is like praised so highly, and scoring points is so like the culture there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're not doing that. We're giving, you know, compliments to Paul. Like, you have that ability. You have more in the tank. And maybe, I don't know, he should have showed it against Valencia.
Yeah. I think when you say a guy's a good counter wrestler, I think what that means to me is a guy knows how to score when things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Hall has to wait. I think if he creates some offense, even if the other guy counters, he can counter back, right? Yeah. I think when there's more action, Hall, being the better wrestler, it should come out on top. So I think when he's got some of these guys that he's beating, these no-name guys that he's beating the preliminary rounds here of the trials, that he's got to beat the last second with... You know,
who was it? Nick Weber or something?
I forget. I don't even remember. That's the sad part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure these guys are talented, but if I didn't know who you were coming in, Hall should beat you.
Hall should beat you, yeah.
So, you know, he's got to resort to some funky looking fours. And
he's a junior world champ. I mean, this is his style.
But he's out there fouring himself. I forget what he even did. He put himself on his back at least once. And, you know, I think he needs to create some action on the ground and learn from there. Maybe it doesn't happen right away, but who am I to tell Hall how to wrestle? But I think if he can create some action, we're going to get to see some more of those scrambles. And I think he's excellent from those positions. Yeah. I think when things start happening and things start to get a little crazy, he's got as good a shot as anybody to come out of that on top.
Yeah, he just makes stuff up and it works really, really well.
So I guess now that we talked about him, we could talk about some, you know, Valencia's flaws. Now, Valencia has got incredible pace on offense, takes a million shots. Here's the problem. Derringer is going to make you pay for those shots.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, so does Dake. Yeah. So it doesn't get any easier past Derringer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really, really looked like Derringer was scoring a lot on go-behinds. Valencia was getting a little extended and, you know, just trying to take a lot of shots, trying to force things, and Derringer really exposed him.
For one, Zahid's really good at, you know, level changing to both knees and getting to a leg and being extended and finishing, but that does not work against Derringer. You can't get extended against him. He's gonna underhook you and turn you.
Yeah.
Well, he did it twice. Turn you for two. Just.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like there was nothing that he could do. You couldn't, even though he was locked around a leg. He could not get through Derringer's chest. Yeah. It was impossible.
And Derringer's obviously here. He's the real deal. I mean,
Derringer's the real deal.
I think at 79 internationally, I think he's 15-1. Really? I think his only loss is to Gazi Megmanov. I think
Oh, really?
I think that's his only international loss. Now, obviously, he's lost to Dake, the Open last year. He's lost to Valencia in that 2 out of 3 series last year, which I'm convinced that that Ringer was hurt for those matches.
And Ringer looks really, really good.
Because he is absolutely on right now. He's absolutely lights out against U.S. competition.
I mean, and to be honest, it didn't look like he had too much. I mean, it was a post to a double that he took Zahid down with. It was, you know, just underhooking, plowing him over.
But his top offense was good too. I mean, the first match, he gets behind once on a hard fought takedown, turns him 2 or 3 times. A high gut. I mean,
he hit trap arm. It was just
trap arm.
He's so good with that. You know, tilts that the trap arm side 3 times.
And then stuck him on the third one.
I was so hyped about it. It was awesome.
So he's winning his World Team Trials match against Valencia, 2 out of 3, two in a row by pin by tech.
Yeah, crazy.
So, I mean, you know,
against Valencia, which is ridiculous.
No easy task. So, all right. So, let's talk Daring or Dake.
Yeah, this is interesting to me. I mean, I really can't have him pass Dake at all. But
I can't either. Now, it might just be a matchup thing. We've seen that happen. We've seen guys struggle with certain people. I mean, I think Cox struggled with like Hayden Zilmer or something last year, and then goes out and wins a world championship. Yeah. So I mean, you know, I think sometimes it's a matchup. It's a matchup problem. Mm-hmm. So as good as we thought Deringer looked, and we thought, wow, Deringer really pushed Dake and almost beat him in the Open finals. He either lost on criteria or lost by 1 point, I think, in last year's Open to Dake.
Yep.
Like, oh, maybe he's here to unseat.
Remember
unseat
that
Kyle Dake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet Kyle Dake makes his first world team and wins world without being scored on.
Yeah, crazy.
So as great as we thought Ringer was, obviously Dake has another level.
Dake is
as well.
And I think stylistically it's better for Dake because Dake isn't a prolific scorer. I mean, he's definitely one of those guys you really can't just shoot on him and think you're gonna score. And he's not gonna like take more shots than you. So that's the difference between him and Valencia. Valencia's going to shoot.
He actually creates openings. He created some openings for Deringer's score that Deringer's not going to do to Dake.
Deringer's not going to be. Deringer's going to have to be the offensive guy against Dake. It's just going to have to happen because Dake doesn't really have to. He's going to score some way somehow. He's going to get some nice high crotch and be up early, you know, or some maybe an ankle pick, be up early. And then Deringer is going to have to come back and score against him. And I don't know if he's going to be able to. I really can't. You can't score on Dake.
I agree. I think Dake is an absolute master of sealing his victories.
Sealing.
You know, he's a closer. He is. We were talking about closing matches when you're losing or when you're winning. So
he closed against Burrows.
He did. I think you've got a guy like J.O. who we said is having trouble with that. But Dake knows how to close out a 1 point win. Do you remember his match against Andrew Howe? In 2015.
Yeah. Oh, we were there. Yeah.
Oh my! He's got one leg up in the air, behind his head, over through, you know, pretzeled through his other leg, and not giving up the two.
So yeah. Howe has the single up high, and he goes a weird back trip, and instead of like, you know, bailing out, Dake just kind of goes behind him, becomes a backpack on Howe, and scores the two. I was like, oh, this is disgusting.
It was nuts. I mean, he was defending a single for like a minute.
A minute, yeah.
For like the last minute of the match, only up by 1 point.
Which is amazing because you can use that to beat clock. Like, you're going to... That's disgusting.
It was absolutely crazy. So, I mean, obviously...
And I think he's a huge reason why Yanni's doing so well, too.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, like I said, you know, J.O.'s in that club. J.O.'s got to learn. J.O.'s got to learn from the way Dake is closing out here. For whatever it is that Dake is doing right is what Oliver's doing wrong. And so, I think Dake and two, I think they're both... close, but not that close. I'm thinking 6-2.
Oh, and I think Dake does a good job of making matches look like they're closer than they are.
I think that's probably part of his defensive style.
Yeah. So,
but again, I mean, did you see him 5 Godzi?
That's true. Yeah.
It was semis.
That semis was beautiful. What was it, 12-0? And it was
amazing. It was gross. I think he was up. He was already up like 8.
And he just throws him off the stage,
and then he fives him. He 5-bombs him. He just kind of brings him out to the edge while he's behind. I think Gazi had started in like a wizard position. Dake had managed to cut the corner and get all the way behind him. scoots his way to the out of bounds line and just launches him.
Launches him.
I think it was a five or it was a four or five, but you know, he definitely didn't need that many points to win the match. He was already up by eight or nine.
He was a statement match. So right, yeah, so. I got Dakin too. I think Derringer gives him a hard, you know, second match or something like that, but I still got Dakin too.
Yeah. All right, we got 86. I guess PD3's the talk of the tournament here.
Pat Downey.
Pat Downey. I love Pat Downey. I absolutely love Pat Downey because what you see is what you get.
Yes.
And
he knows it.
He knows it. You know it. I know it. Everybody does. And he's just this lovable thug.
Yeah.
That I love his style. I always think he's gonna gas out. He pulls out one last move at the end. He's on an absolute dream run right now. And you know, what do you call it? Do you think this is the beginning of his career, or do you think it's a lucky run?
Oh, it's a lucky run. I don't expect much out of it. I really like PD3. Like I like his persona. I think it's good for the sport. It's always good to have that villain, even though he knows he's playing that role.
So here's where I think it's going to be tough to judge him. And number one, he did not wrestle or has not wrestled any of the three top guys from last year. Three top guys from last year. It was Taylor, Nick Rainin, Rich Perry. Shout out to Rich Perry. Hope he's doing awesome. Yeah, I haven't heard anything lately on his recovery, but
he seemed cool. He was in the stands against NCAAs and
cool. And then Rainin injured?
Not sure.
I'm not sure either. I don't remember hearing much about him at NCAAs, to be honest with you.
He might have been injured for NCAAs because I didn't see him there.
So point is, Downey hasn't wrestled any of the top three guys from last year. Taylor, Rainin, Perry is your last year's top three. So as proud as I am for Downey getting over Heflin with a broken hand, turns out we really haven't seen much out of him yet. I guess he's got a win over Mimar, maybe his best win. Yeah. But really... The problem here is that a match against Taylor probably still isn't going to tell you much. Because swap out Taylor now for, I don't know, Green or Gilman.
Mm.
And you say, all right, well, if he keeps it close with one of these guys, you're proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, close against Green is getting smashed by David Taylor. At least the way they're wrestling right now.
Yeah.
So... You know, if Deacon comes out and beats Green, we're all proud of him. But PD3, I mean,
let's be honest, he doesn't have a chance.
I'm saying no. I love his style. I love his confidence.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome run he's on. Obviously, it ends with David Taylor.
So my thing with PD3 and my thing with guys like Heflin and stuff like that, I think we're finally straying away from. This was like a problem that I had with American wrestling for a while. I just didn't like watching how rigid people were wrestling for a long time. I saw that for years until the past couple of years when things started changing. We started like really beating people up. And I think he's still part of that old persona. Like him and Heflin wrestling each other just looked really like just two King Kongs just beating the crap out of each other. Like, but it was still fun because they're both personalities and they were both like pretty into it, and Pat Downey's just Pat Downey, and you take him as he is, but he's not where he needs to be to even contend with Taylor yet.
Yeah,
and that says a lot to Taylor too. I mean, Taylor's putting in
like, and obviously huge shout to New Jersey RTC again.
Oh,
I think that's where he's out of, isn't he? That's where Downey's out of, I'm pretty sure.
That's crazy what Rhys Humphrey is doing over there in Dubuque. And
super cool. Again, I think he's got ways to go. If he's able to stick around, put a few years in, he'll be a great number two, I think. Do I think he has what it takes to topple Taylor? No. I don't. And I don't think he has it in the next few years. Because as good as I think Pat Downey can get, I weirdly think Taylor is just starting to hit his groove.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's always been good. I mean, we saw him give JB a heck of a run in open finals years ago, right? He locked him up in a couple of cradles, tossed him out of bounds a few times. I mean, wild. Gave JB everything he could handle. Yet, I still think Taylor is better than ever.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I think the biggest factor for the reason why Taylor's on the run he is he finally filled out.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like, it's not babyface Taylor anymore.
Oh,
no.
No.
It's Jack David
Taylor. The beard helps.
The beard helps. That definitely does help. Cool beard. But he's just massive right now, and it's so obvious. He's throwing these guys around at 86 kilos like nothing. They don't have an answer for him. I mean, he's had to go through a gauntlet, an absolute gauntlet.
I mean, think, again,
to get to where he's at.
Think about the guys that have kept him off the team. Losses to Burrows, losses to Dake, losses to Cox. World champions all.
World champions all.
Mind you.
How many world champions does he beat?
I mean, well, now he's knocked off Hassan Yazdani, right?
Beat Yazdani.
I mean,
he beat someone in his like first BTS too.
That's right. That sounds
he
real
beat
familiar.
Some Olympic champ or something like that. I can't remember.
He also beat. I mean, he beat Cox, right? In one of the matches out of three, didn't he beat Cox? First match out of three, I think. And then Cox won the next two.
I think you're right. Yeah. No, he's beat. He is exactly where he needs to be, and
yeah.
It's his way to lose.
Definitely hitting his stride.
Mm-hmm.
Prediction time, and I don't think this is that bold of a take. Internationally, DT has a bigger legacy than Kale.
Ooh, internationally, interesting. Because Kale has the Olympic title, he doesn't have a world.
He has the lone Olympic title. Nothing against Kale. I think he's got a fifth in there somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't
got a world silver somewhere.
I don't know if I know Kale's entire international career, but when I think of Kale, I think
let us know. Tell
I
us.
Think Olympic champ. I think he's got a gold.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got other stuff, fine. But the one gold matters, right? The one gold.
Well, he's peaking at the right time the year before. You know, it's crazy. He's gonna be. I really definitely think he can win an Olympic title if it's, you know, if he doesn't get, you know, Cox coming down. I don't see.
So I think that's your biggest. I think that's your biggest thing. So I think he comes out and takes another world championship this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think his biggest threats were. Torreblanca Corralta, who he's handled,
mm-hmm.
and obviously Hassan Yazdani, who he's handled now twice.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Yazdani looked good for the first 30 seconds or so of the match,
oh, he broke him.
He gasses, he
did
breaks.
You see the videos of him just broken in the hallways?
Man, I mean, you know.
Couldn't even stand up. It was
that,
amazing.
That guy is the king of his country, the way he wrestles and the way his fans love him. And man, his fans are nuts.
His fans are nuts.
But I mean, DT DT absolutely did break him, and I think
yeah.
he's on pace for another championship. And we'll do world previews, obviously, another time. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think this one's a final to worry about. No,
not worried about it.
All right, we've got 92 kilograms, all Bo Nickel.
All Bo Nickel.
I love Machiavello, Mike. Horse noises, Machiavello. After his NCAA shenanigans from last year, we tried to run out to just horse noises, but the arena could not provide that for him,
no.
So we had to run out to dueling banjos.
So
I love Machiavello. Unfortunately, against Bo, this is not just a critique on him, but really everybody looks one dimensional, and he did. He looked a little one dimensional, and. Right now, Bo's got it all firing.
Yeah, this is Bo's. I think this is Bo's best style too, which is crazy after what he did in folk style. I mean, you saw what the guts he had against Machiavello. He's got the parterre. He's got the high crotches that are, you know, super super clean. I mean,
it's all effortless. It looks completely effortless.
Which is so Bo, like in wrestling, just in general. I mean, I don't see. Anybody outside of Cox challenging
this? So here's this is a weird weight. This is a weird weight because obviously Bo's been dominant. I thought he might struggle with Machiavello because I've seen Machiavello wrestle on the international stage and have mixed success, but he's got a little bit of experience. I thought he might struggle against Hayden Zomer for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
He wrecked both of those guys. He blew through everybody. It wasn't even close. So he's the clear contender to Cox. But Cox is a world champ. So, really, all we have right now is speculation. It's not a match we've seen happen.
No, we haven't seen it happen.
We're going to be blessed to see that at least twice.
Is that New Jersey?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there and on the 8th at
That's
Rutgers.
amazing.
And
I'm so excited about that match. That's going to be crazy.
That's going to be an interesting result no matter what happens. Now, I think Cox wins them both. And again, I'm going to go one close, one not close. Cox is really not a guy historically that runs up a score. Cox, he grinds out a lot of 3-1 wins.
No, he picks his spots. I mean, he makes he's one of those guys that I love to watch because he'll make a 3-1 win look extremely exciting.
Yeah.
You know, 5-4 wins and stuff like that. It's really
he's fun, he's dynamic.
Yeah.
He has been known to have a mental slip here or there too.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a controversial spot in either the Olympics or Worlds where he couldn't hear his coach and thought he was winning on criteria and was losing on criteria and then didn't shoot. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I'll have to look up the exact time that that happened, but
in
I remember
Worlds.
It was one of those times where I was yelling at my TV. And I know he's had a few mental lapses, but at this point, he's as much of a veteran as anybody. And it's weird how young Jaden is.
Yeah, no, he's young, yeah.
First of all, he looks like a full-grown man. He is a full-grown man. And
sweats like a full-grown man.
But he's got a lot of international experience at this point. In the few years that he's had, he's got, what, bronze in the Olympics, bronze in Paris, and gold in Budapest.
That's really good. That's
so, totally underrated, and part
totally
of it is
underrated.
He doesn't have a huge...
That's the biggest
huge,
thing with Cox with me. I don't know why he's so underrated.
Because he doesn't have a huge social media presence
or
sponsorship presence.
He's not that kind
of personality. Isn't that kind of personality. And you know what? He deserves as much of a conversation as... I mean, at this point, he has more accolades than Dacre Taylor, and he's kept them both off world teams.
And that's... And I brought this up with you. I think he's, pound for pound, I think he's the best of that trio there.
He might be. So, again, I think Bo's been absolutely dominant. I think Cox gets him. I think one's close, one's not. But I think Bo is right around that corner.
Yeah, he's. I think Bo's another guy that's gonna, you know, another one of those Penn State guys that's gonna have to fill out a little bit, cause he just kind of got away with how ahead of people he was in folk style. And in some ablaze, but in freestyle, you gotta fill out.
We're gonna see that one way or the other because he's either gonna have to cut down and face Taylor or bump up and face Snyder. I mean, which way do you go? And Cox has got the same problem.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, I have a feeling Cox is going up. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a conversation for another day. I have a feeling Cox is gonna go up. I don't think he can handle the 86 cut. I think he's too big for 86, mm-hmm. and I don't blame him.
I think he.
But
I think
92
is the perfect weight for him.
But Bo, I think, is too small for 97.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
So I mean, Bo's gonna go down and have Taylor, which I mean, gosh, I mean, keep it coming because this has been a blast and it looks like it's only getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, right now, I give Cox the edge, and I'd say Nickel isn't super far behind. He's just happens to be behind maybe the best 74 through 97 the U.S. has ever seen.
Yeah.
You literally have world championships at all those weights.
I have to say, because last time I have a history of doubting Nickel for the past like 4 years. Because I just
that's me and Yanni. So.
That's you and Yanni. So but me and Nickel, I just always like, there's no way he's gonna beat Brian Realbuto and destroys him first time he wrestles him. There's no way he's gonna beat Gabe Dean in the finals.
Oh gosh, I did not think he was beating Dean.
And nope. I have to say I'm gonna just go out there and say maybe he wins the second match, but I still got Cox. I really just like it's gonna be Cox.
Again, at this point, it feels hard to bet against him, especially coming off a world championship, looking as good as he did.
It's so hard to.
So but we win one way or the other. It's either a change in the guard, which I'd be surprised, but
I'd be shocked actually if that was the.
If your world champion is the number two on your team, you got a stacked weight class, or you see. I think just the return of the champ, and he'll go out again and try and defend his title. But again, I think Bo's going to learn. I think he's a very talented and smart wrestler, and he's right around the corner.
Oh, I can so see some fluky thing, like some cradle out of nowhere. And,
oh, yeah. It's going to be weird. If he beats him, I think he's got to stick him.
I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't put that past Nickel.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, well, it looks like Steve has finished eating his chips, so I guess we can go ahead and talk about 97.
I hope you guys didn't hear that.
with this fancy new microphone. I think they picked up all of that.
It's a fancy $50.
It's not chips. Takis.
Takis. Takis. If you have no takis, go out and get the spicy takis.
This podcast brought to you by Takis, unofficially. But feel free to sponsor us. All right. So, 97. I don't think there's a lot here. Gadsden wins again. I actually like Walls. I really do. Mm. Again, I think I've seen Walls wrestle in a couple international tournaments. I like the way he wrestles. I think he actually lost to Schneider in, like, the Dan Koloff or something. Maybe it wasn't that one. Maybe it was last year's Yasser Dogu or something. But mm-hmm. I think I've actually seen Walls Snyder. I've been impressed with the way Walls handles himself internationally. But Gadsden definitely had his number here in the final. So not a ton to talk about here.
Yeah.
So obviously you got a Gadsden Snyder rematch for the, I don't know, 10th time?
Yeah. It's I think Gadsden got his win in 2015.
He got his win. He got his ice cream.
He got his ice cream. That's about it. I love Gadsden. I think he's a cool dude, but
yeah, I agree.
Not much to say about this.
A lot of talent. I think he's a clear number two.
Clear number two. Very obvious.
I think he definitely showed that.
And nothing to take away from Ty Walls, because Ty Walls is an absolute beast.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that, you know, makes himself look really, really light.
This is the same conversation we had with Cox and Taylor and Dake and JB. We just happen to live in a fortunate time. But for the guys that are the number twos, not a lot of fun. Obviously, Gadsden is behind an all-time great.
Yeah.
An absolute all-time great. I mean, think about this. The guys that are just coming out now, Nolf, Nickel.
Yeah.
These guys. Yeah, so Snyder already had 3 golds by then.
He's been doing it since he's been 18.
3 golds.
Since he was 18. Then. Crazy. Like, throughout college and into now, he's still getting better. It's crazy.
I mean, if Snyder would have to quit today, and Bo Nickel would have to make the next 4 finals just to catch him.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I don't know if it's just because he seems older because he's been on the international stage longer, and obviously he's a big guy.
How old is he, 23?
Yeah, I mean, I think he won his first one at 18 or 19.
Yeah, crazy.
So, obviously 3 golds, beating Sagulayev in 2017 to give USA the team title, and then heartbreaking loss last year, but hopefully we'll see that one again.
Oh, so fluky.
But
so Sagulayev.
Oh, man, I watched a video of Sagulayev teaching that to a bunch of little kids. It hurt me a little bit. Yeah, I died a little bit inside.
So middle school, but so.
But you know what?
Sagulayev, he's the only one I can allow that to happen.
It's true. So, you know, again, Gadsden, obviously a great tournament. Clear number two. He's behind one of the all-time greats. I don't think he has a close match with Snyder either time.
No. Yeah, probably Tech first match or something. One of the two is going to be Tech, or maybe the first match will be tough. Second one's Tech. Snyder.
Sounds good to me. So for me, the big question at 125, where was this Gable at NCAAs?
Unreal.
He made Kuhn look foolish.
Foolish. That was unbelievable. And Kuhn, you gotta remember, Kuhn's like pushing like 300 right now.
Back-to-back years, Kuhn techs Gable and then gets teched by him. That's a big jump. That's
crazy.
And I just find it odd that Gable can just, I don't know, snatch up an ankle of Kuhn and trip him to his back for 4, but he can't take down Kassar.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, is it the rules? Is Kassar's stalling as bad as all the Gable fans want to make it seem?
I think, to me, it seems like, I think Gable actually really has to take into account Kassar's offense. When I don't think he has to do that as much with Kuhn.
Yeah, well, with Kuhn, he sort of just backs out, gives up the point, and then responds by getting 4.
That's true, yeah.
I think he's willing to make that trade. Sorry, if in the course of my shooting...
He almost did get that 4. He ran him out of bounds. And
yeah, he got at least one other one, too.
I actually think he should have got
He got a nice trip for 4. He got a couple of them. And so, I mean, I think what he's saying is, in the course of me trying to hit my offense, if you end up with a body lock, I'll let you push me out.
Yeah.
I'll go up that one. Mm-hmm. Because he can get that one right back by attempting a shot. and forcing Kuhn out on a shot. And that's what he did. He showed that. Absolutely nuts. Different level.
The best part is that, I mean, he's coming from standing up basically straight underhook, you know, to literally, like, as low of a level change as possible. Yeah. Picking up the ankle. Back up to standing up straight again.
You don't see a big guy move like that.
No, you don't. You don't see, like, little guys move like that sometimes.
So, unfortunately, again, I'm going to have a bad habit of doing this. And it's not just because I'm biased a little bit against Gable. Because I am a little bit. But I'll admit it. I don't think the way that Kuhn wrestles is good for freestyle. Mm. Not at heavyweight. Interesting. I think it worked okay in college. I think he was able to overpower Schneider based on size. It beats guys like Sam Stoll.
Yeah.
I don't think it's beating Taha Gul. Nope. I don't think it's beating Gino Petrushvili. Nope. I don't think it's even beating Deng. And I obviously didn't beat Gwiz last year. So I think he's a phenomenal Greco wrestler. I'm pulling for him for a title this year. I know he took silver last year. Mm-hmm. But I think that's his style. I think just to sit there and go big on guys all day. I don't think he reached for Gable's legs once. I don't think he level changed.
Yeah, I think I saw one fake shot.
One time. Nice. Maybe one snap or one fake, but it wasn't very pronounced. And I'm not sure that's the right style to work at this level. No. I don't think
you gotta get to the legs. I don't care.
You have to.
You have to get to the legs. I mean, you look at... You remember watching the Petrushvili and Agulov?
I could watch that. I mean, all day.
One of the greatest matches of all time.
Yep.
Like, wrestling matches ever I've ever seen. But they're in on each other's leg like crazy. And they're 125 kilos. It's crazy.
You gotta
there's no excuse. That's the point.
And he's not a fat heavyweight. He's just got size. He's the frame of a Taha Gul.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think his style is not perfectly suited for a freestyle match, and I think
which is okay.
That really stood out against Gable, who is perfectly suited.
Who's perfectly
suited for freestyle, and I think he's starting to realize that. He definitely hit his confidence. He absolutely made Kuhn look silly and.
Yeah.
Really. So comes the big question now, Gable Gwiz.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Gwiz does not share Kuhn's style. Gwiz wrestles like an international heavyweight needs to wrestle to win.
No, he's got offense. He's got reattacks, which are amazing. Mm-hmm. He's got he's a little guy in a big guy's body. I mean, he's definitely got the athletic ability to beat Gable. To match him one-on-one. I think Gwiz has the international freestyle experience at this weight. So I have a little bit of an edge with him. But Gable is Gable. I mean, he's really, really freaking good. Like he can put it to Gwiz. I think he's definitely got the leg attacks there. I think he can move anybody around in the weight. I mean, he moved around Kuhn, no problem. So he can definitely move around Gwiz. But I just don't know if he going to be able to handle the counters that Gwiz has. I mean, Gwiz is going to re-attack. It's going to happen.
I think you're right. I think it seems like with a lot of these guys, they're another year out. I think Gable has made crazy strides. But I think he's going to show me something a little bit more before I say you're going to go out there and take out Gwiz, who again, it was 2x bronze.
Yeah.
I think that he can too. But to
it's
beat
not
him,
Taylor Towney, you know,
to beat Gwiz 2 out of 3, I'm saying not this year. I'm not saying never gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of made it sound like with Gatz and Snyder. I just don't think it's this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
all.
Agree.
Same thing with Bo Cox. I don't think it's this year.
I agree.
That 100%. Bo Nickel is gonna take out Cox, but
agreed.
I'm certainly not saying it's impossible.
No, yeah. No, I'm saying Gwiz in 2, but definitely caveat, like,
yeah,
it could possibly happen.
I'm also saying Gwiz in 2. I've as early as last year, we saw Gable getting thrown around a little bit by some of the bigger guys in freestyle. You know, he was having trouble with Tony Nelson, obviously, avenged that loss. He was having trouble with Kuhn. He avenged that loss. But again, I think Gwiz is a little bit different of a style. He does not wrestle like those guys. He's not a Zach Ray out there. No. He's moving. And no, I love Zach Ray. No. but he is moving a little bit more than I think the guys that Gable is used to wrestling. And I think we've seen him struggle recently at against NCAAs.
Offensive guys.
Against guys that can move. Against guys that have some offense.
Against the prototypical heavyweight, drag yourself around, try and fall on top of your heavyweight. Mm-hmm. Gable win every time.
Every time.
If you got an athletic heavyweight, I'm not sure. It's different.
Yeah. So someday, maybe, I've got Gwizdin too.
Cool.
All right, we're going to close out today with a little bit of a rant. Today, I think the thing that's been on my mind a little bit, especially after Beat the Streets and from what I saw on Twitter today, is this fake MMA beef that's going on. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I'm glad that Burroughs and Askren raised some money for charity or whatever. Great, fine. Starting the fake beef on Twitter, I have no patience for. It's not us. I don't like it. You didn't hype it. Everybody thought it was dumb. I thought it was dumb. Maybe I'm not speaking for everybody. It was never going to be a match. You hyped it like it was going to be a match, and you pushed Yanni Bajrang to the background for Burroughs Askren.
Yeah. I totally agree.
That everybody and anybody who watched that night, who watched Yanni wrestle, said, why was this not the feature match? What do they call it? Co-main event? Well, which one was last? That's the main event. That Burroughs and Askren was the worst match of the night.
Mm-hmm. Easily, yeah.
And everybody knew that that's what it was going to be. Everybody agreed that if Askren scored at all, it was going to be either a super fluke, which I didn't even believe that he had the power to fluke into any points, mm-hmm. or that JB was trying to make it interesting for the sake of the fans.
I mean, the only argument people had to that it could be interesting is because Askren had a little bit of weight. That was the only argument people had.
Yeah, and a little bit of weight, but it was me weight. It's dad weight. Yeah, it wasn't even good weight. There's the same amount of muscle under there, I think. I
accidentally wore a singlet and went on the mat.
Right, yeah. Right. That's exactly. That's almost what I would look like if I walked out there. It's so obvious,
and especially when you're streaming it to people that are paying to be there / paying to watch it. They're knowledgeable fans. They mm-hmm. know what match mm-hmm. is going to be exciting.
So here's my problem. You want to bring back an MMA guy or whatever and have this sort of an exhibition match, fine. But don't insult our intelligence and tell me that a 5-time champion who is currently, I still believe, in his prime is going to have a hard time with somebody who made a world team 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And hasn't wrestled since.
Hasn't wrestled in 9 years.
He's so, flat out look, said it. All the respect in the world to Askren. He had a great, he had a great quote about toughness isn't just stepping up when you think you're going to win, but stepping up when you know you're going to lose. Something like that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Props to him for coming out there and getting absolutely manhandled by Burroughs. But for the fans, that's not what we want to see. Give me Yanni Bajrang last. Throw another world guy in there. Obviously the Burroughs Chimizo thing was awesome last year. Give me a match like that. I don't need to see this. Mm-hmm. And no one believes that you're tough because you wrestled a guy that hasn't wrestled in 10 years. And so that brings me to today. So Askren, I think in a goofy way, in a joking way, calls out Daniel Cormier from the current heavyweight UFC champion, I think. And I forget where he wrestled out of. I think the best he did was
Oklahoma State.
Okay. I think the best he ever did was second. And NCAAs.
You might be right. You might have a national title in there, but I have to check.
I forget too. Regardless, he's not this legendary folk style or freestyle wrestling figure. He was a great wrestler. I wouldn't even say he had as much as clout as Askren did. Mm-hmm. Hasn't wrestled in a while, and Askren's out here going, "Hey, you should wrestle Gable next time around. Me and Gable Stevenson." All right. This is where we're going to start. Like, that was a funny joke. I laughed. Then Gable tweets something like, DC doesn't want any of this with the eyeballs emoji. All right. Enough.
Enough, yeah.
That's I put up with it for the Burroughs Asker thing for charity. I don't care for this stuff. Gable, you're not – like, I think wrestling is the toughest sport. I do. I've always maintained that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm on a wrestling podcast, so you know that I believe that it's true. But – you're not tougher than an MMA guy because you can beat him in a wrestling match. You're tougher because you're tougher. That's it. It's the end of the story. You don't need to prove that because you're going to beat a guy who hasn't wrestled in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see that, right? I mean, look, I put on skates once or twice in my life, but if a hockey player comes up to me and says, oh, you think you're tough? Well, put on the skates and let's see how tough you are.
Yeah.
And then he body checks me into the into the boards or whatever, and I fall on my ass. Is he tougher than me?
No, two completely different disciplines. No,
it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. You want to prove something to me, Gable, or really even Burroughs, like, if you want to start the beef and whatever, and I'm tough and you're scared and whatever, then do a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Do a one-on-one or don't do it. Gable, you want to wrestle Daniel Cormier, fine, but then get into the octagon with him after.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll call it a one-on-one, and you guys can duke it out in there, too.
Oof, that'd be amazing.
Until that happens, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to really make it interesting? I got one for you. Ready? Darian Caldwell, Aaron Pico, wrestling match, and then UFC match.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Find two guys that know how to do both. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Reputations on the line. I would have a blast with that.
That'd be fun.
Bring in something like that. Or two current UFC guys, make them wrestle a match. Right? If Askren and Cormier were the same weight.
Askren and Cormier. Yeah.
You know, someone like Henry Cejudo. The reason why I liked the Henry Cejudo Tony Ramos match from a few years ago, that exhibition, was because you have a guy coming back from a more illustrious career, right? So you have a guy who's has had a more notable freestyle career, but that hasn't wrestled freestyle in a while, against an up and coming guy. Now that felt more even, and actually Tony edged him, and it was pretty cool at the last minute. I said, hey, good match, Tony.
Did that sick little, like, you know, bow and arrow.
It was nice.
Roll through four.
With almost no time left, if I remember correctly.
That was awesome.
So the reason that was fun and that reason that that lived up to the hype is you have a guy who was once great and hasn't wrestled in a while against the guy who hasn't won anything yet but is in his prime. Mm-hmm. So that's why it kind of leveled out. You talk about a guy like Gable who's already got as many accolades as Cormier, basically, or a guy like Burroughs who's got 5 golds and 7 medals total against Askren's one world team made or Olympic team made, and you combine that with the fact that one of them is currently in their prime, the other one hasn't wrestled.
What did you expect? Yeah.
So enough. You want to go one-on-one, fine. Do it with any guy out there. In fact, I'd have a blast. You know, go wrestle a football player and then try and beat him off the line and get to the quarterback. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do something like that. But just because you're better at your discipline that you train in every single day doesn't make you tougher. You're tougher because you're tougher. You don't need to. This is not the way to prove it. I know you're tougher.
I think it's cheap. I just think it's like we're trying to feed off of the success of UFC and MMA, and I get that. I mean, it just seems like a cheap marketing scheme to me. Let's try and ride the MMA wave, and you know all these. Which is, I love that these guys are done with wrestling. They go into MMA and they have this success. Great, that's MMA though. I mean, I think wrestling. People work so hard at the sport, and they become so disciplined at this sport, and they become figureheads in this sport. I mean, just separate the two. I just don't see why it has to be.
So look, because this is, I agree with you. This is twofold for me. So one, I'm glad that the wrestlers are doing well. Okay, I'm glad that Askren is winning and that Pico's got a promising career.
Oh, I love it.
And Cejudo is winning and Cormier is winning. Great, awesome. I love that Stephen Neal goes and wins 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots as a Pro Bowler after being a phenomenal wrestler. So, look, you know, here's my point, right? And this is how you know. This is why you don't need words. You don't have to beef or talk up anything or whatever. Here's why I appreciate wrestling. You ever going to see a Super Bowl champion then come down and win a world title in wrestling?
No.
It's never going to happen. Never has happened. And never will.
Never.
A great wrestler can become a great fighter in a pretty short amount of time. We've seen it happen. We're seeing it happen.
Mm-hmm.
How about a great fighter with no wrestling experience? You think they're going to win a world title?
No way. George St. Pierre tried to. Couldn't do it.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
Never. They're completely different. One of them is just whatever. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we appreciate wrestling more. I have some appreciation for MMA, but it's a completely different sport, and it needs to be treated that way.
Yeah.
The fact that it's the next step up for a wrestler, I don't want to hear that.
I hate that.
As glad as I am that the wrestlers are doing well, This is not like the path for a wrestler. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'd rather be a broke wrestler than you know, a halfway decent MMA fighter after being a world class wrestler.
Yeah.
Right? You're gonna take that step back for the money. I'm not saying I blame these guys. I'm just saying I don't want the world to think of us that way. I don't like that. I don't appreciate that. So this whole crossover thing, I don't care for it. That's my rant.
I agree. That's that's what really grinds Jay's gears.
That's what really grinds my gears. All right, enough of that. We will catch you guys later in the week or next week with maybe a little bit more in-depth stuff on Final X. But until then, thanks for listening.
Cooler than Coolio, stay in that studio. Flyer than Peter Pan when I'm pushing that Rufio. It's that Stone Mountain CEO, wishing that you was me. Girls on a tour bus, keep that ratio 2 to 3. Flies, I'm on 8.